You're listening to The Comedy Cellar, live from the table on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to The Comedy Cellar Show here on Sirius XM Channel 99. We're here with, of course, we're at The Comedy Cellar, the back table of The Comedy Cellar. We're here, of course, with Mr. Daniel Natterman, the great Dan Natterman.
Danny!
Mr. Sean Donnelly, who is a New York City-based stand-up comedian who may be seen performing regularly at the Comedy Cellar. He's also an avid UFO and extraterrestrial enthusiast. And, boy, this is, what your luck. We have Jeremy Corbell is our guest. He's an American contemporary artist and documentary filmmaker, having produced several artists, meaning like artists like painter?
Used to be previous life, yeah.
Previous life. And documentary filmmaker, having produced several short and feature films, short and feature films. His most recent documentary, Bob Lazar, Area 51 and Flying Saucers, premiered last month and is in theaters now. Now, Sean Donnelly has been yapping about UFOs basically since he walked in here. So I'm going to actually turn it over to Sean a little bit because you're so enthusiastic about this, to start this conversation.
Okay, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Noam, for having Jeremy and having me do this. I have been excited about this topic for a year, and there's a reason behind it. I just told Jeremy why. We just met today. We don't know each other.
You must be, like, out of your mind.
I'm out of my mind because he knows so much more than I do, and it brings more legitimacy to my craziness. Me coming in here and talking to you guys about this stuff.
All he cares about is you don't think he's crazy. That's my job, to make sure you don't think he's crazy anymore.
Well, craziness is not... No one won't hold it against you if he does think you're crazy.
Oh, I hope you are crazy. It's good for the radio, but I don't believe this stuff, but go ahead.
Right, but that's what we're going to try to change, and I'll tell you why, because... Huh? I didn't come here.
I believe you made a documentary.
Yeah, well, I definitely made a documentary. That's provable.
Yeah. I definitely did. That's my wife. Yeah.
So what happens is I'm going to tell you my story based off it, and then we can go from there. I've been working this club for over almost 5 years. I haven't been coming in here and talking about UFOs for 5 years. But what happened was, what changed for me. I was always, I don't know how you guys always thought about UFOs. I always was a guy who was like, yeah, it'd be great if it's for real, but I never really thought much about it. Then last December, a year ago.
Why would it be great?
I just thought it'd be fun. It'd be fantastic. Yeah. That was true. That was me before it. I thought it wasn't provable. I thought it was people making stuff up, right? Then last December, the New York Times came out with an article that was authored by multiple sources, including the guy that we have here today. They weren't talking. They didn't come out and say little green men are real. They didn't come out and say there's lizard people. They came out, and it was the New York Times saying there was a program called ATIP, which wasn't stand for. Do you remember what it stands for?
Yes, ATIP.
Talking to the mic.
Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program.
So it's a program that on the books, the Department of Defense had for 5 years, they put $22 million into, right? So that's all the article was about. It was about this idea that this black money was put into something that was supposed to be denied by the government for 70,
well,
80
they
years.
Throw, the government has studies. They put $20 million into any, you know,
but
anything.
But UFOs, Dan?
They actually put more money into Viagra than they did the UFO study.
There's for years, they've been listening for it's called SETI or something, Search for Intelligent,
right?
There's SETI, whatever.
Yes, there is.
So that's been going on for decades.
That's been going on for
really
decades, but
different.
That's NASA. That's, I think that's funded by NASA right now. It's partially privately funded.
Yeah,
correct?
We're talking about something completely different.
Right.
Anyway, go ahead.
So I read this article and right away I went, oh. I put the two and two together. I said, New York Times coming out with this, something's up. Accompanied by the article was two videos that were shot from the infrared cameras of F-18s.
Of that, what?
The infrared of cameras of F-18 airplanes.
F-18, yeah.
F-18.
Yeah. I gotta tell you, I'm having trouble believing this. I'm having trouble believing you read the New York Times, but go ahead.
So what happens is, two things accompany the articles. The article, it was the videos, and it was the eyewitness account of a guy named David Fravor, who back in 2004 was in charge of, I think, like 300 pilots on the USS Nimitz off the coast of California. So those, and then he had an eyewitness account of encountering one of these objects. So those three things together got me more into it and made me read more and more and more about it. It made me buy a book about it. It made me check Reddits every day. It made me really get into the topic because it made it more real to me. And because what they were saying in these articles wasn't, all the articles were saying was this money was put into it. These people are trained. These are observant military personnel that were trained to tell you what this thing was on these videos, and they couldn't do it. And they have a list of 100 things. They have a thing called ball lightning, which I didn't know what that was. Ball lightning, swamp gas, solar flares, birds. They have everything it could be. So they're trying to debunk these things at every turn.
So what?
And military personnel off these two videos that they declassified a while ago could not tell you what these things are, and they went public with it. And then you had this Commander Fravor coming out and being like, I had an eyewitness account. Me and three other pilots came out, and they had an encounter with one of these things where they interacted with it, and then it took off at the speed of light.
Took off at the speed of light.
What was it? Not speed of light. What was it?
Whatever they had.
Beyond Mach 10. Whatever the hell it was.
Well, first of all,
okay, come on, Jeremy.
First of all, thank you for having me, you guys. I learned from my friends what the Comedy Cellar is. I learned from my friends what the table is. I feel very honored. Thanks for having me. It's really cool. Can I?
Thanks for doing
it. Curse on this?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Fuck. Thank God.
It's not a spaceship. Christ. You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Fuck. So anyway, I'm really stoked, you know, to have you guys here. What we have here is a very enthusiastic new person to the UFO
yes,
world.
Absolutely.
But let's kind of get into it. I mean, it's not a long show, so we're going to pack it all in, and you'll have more questions than answers at the end. But the essence of what your friend here is saying is absolutely 100% true, which is that the U.S. government said in 1969, all study of UFOs ended with Project Blue Book. That was it. We're not interested. However, we all suspected that wasn't true, and we found out in December of 2017 through the New York Times that indeed there was another program. By the way, there are more, and that news is coming out. My mentor in journalism is the one who broke all of this.
Joy Reid.
No, George Knapp. But good job. No. And so basically what the article says, if you guys really want to know, it says that there are craft of unknown origin with capabilities that far outpace anything from any foreign nation. In fact, the propulsion system, there's no tail numbers, there's no fins, there's no rotors, there's no exhaust. They're a gravitational craft. So these craft of high technology are flying with impunity through our airspace.
Oh,
and
come on now.
No, I'm not. I'm reporting the news. I'm telling you what the New York Times told you. This is not me making stuff up.
Well, they're going to tell us.
No. They told you in December of 2017, an article came out, and it laid it out for you, that there was a program funded.
Can you, and the program saw crafts without rotors and everything?
Yes. So, not the program. So one particular individual is famous now. His name is Commander David Fravor. I happened to break that story before the New York Times on record twice. Commander Fravor's a friend of mine. He became a friend of mine. I got a tip about this case as the UFO guy, and I started following it. So Commander Fravor was tasked with intervening where, by the way, there were multiple over a 9-day period
right,
of craft dropping in from 80,000 feet to 50 feet above the water.
There's reports.
Instantaneously. We don't know the speed. You can't calculate the speed. So Commander Fravor takes he's a badass fighter pilot in charge of everybody, and he comes in and he intervenes with this object he called the Tic Tac because it looked like a Tic Tac.
A 40-foot long Tic Tac.
Except this thing was moving in ways that can only be described as a gravitational craft. He has certain optics on his helmet, right? And the optics are laced into the weaponry. It disabled, I'll say, his optics. And what basically he was able to see firsthand, close, and he's not the only witness. There were other eyeballs on this thing, and it was being tracked. All of these objects were being tracked over a long period of time. And by the way, it's not just 2004 Commander Fravor and one pilot with two eyes.
No.
The other video that came out is called the Gimbal video. It looks like a saucer that turns and doesn't slow down. That was 2015 off the East Coast, released by the Pentagon. And they're telling you, these craft are not ours.
A saucer?
It looks, it appears visually
it's
to
so
be...
It's so interesting that aliens actually chose to use shapes that we used in 1950s science fiction.
No. We don't know they're aliens. We don't know who is piloting. We don't know who's... Are they extra-dimensional, extra-temporal, extra-terrestrial? We don't know.
Like Sean's nodding his head when you said extra-dimensional. He's like, oh, yeah. 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 Well, what the fuck is extra-dimensional?
Okay. Well, I'm,
from another dimension.
Sorry.
The whole point is we don't know. We don't know who's piloting these craft. We know there are hard physical craft.
I would classify extra-dimensional as aliens as well.
I would, too. Okay. It's definitely alien to us.
It's alien to us, right.
Let's not miss the big point. The big point is our consensus reality, our social reality, needs to catch up with our factual reality. The factual reality is that we have caught these things on radar. We have visually caught them. Our military is being impeded by their activity at an increased frequency. And the New York Times told you about it. And this is my buddy. He's a famous writer. This is Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, man? Good to see you. We're on podcast.
Radio. We're on a radio.
He's an amazing writer. Writes for like Rolling Stone and all. And
Ron
Village
what?
Voice.
His name is Ron what?
He said his name is Ron what?
Mark.
Mark Jacobson.
I thought you said Jacobs. Ron. You said Mark. Oh, Mark Jacobs. I don't know why I heard
I haven't seen this guy in a while. He came to investigate UFOs in L.A., and we did a little tour. Anyway, so the point is the New York Times came out with an article, and they told you about Commander Fravor, the Tic Tac UFO story, which I broke the Tic Tac UFO story before the New York Times, making that clear. And then it goes further than that. Senator Harry Reid was the one that funded the $22 million. Why did he fund it? Let's wrap this round back to my movie.
He's a Mormon. He believes in that stuff. They believe in aliens.
No, that's not why.
Oh,
that's not why.
Total coincidence.
The reason why.
Hey, Artie.
Well, for the government, they...
Have some dinner. Alicia.
For the...
help Artie sit down and have dinner, please.
For the government throwing $20 million, they is nothing to...
No, you're focusing on this stupid thing that the government doesn't, you know, oh, it's such a little amount of money. It is the tip of the iceberg. It's only what's public. Our government in every branch of the military has funded UFO studies. Only one has remained public since 2017. The news flash is we didn't stop in 1969 with Project Blue Book. There's an active identification program. There are other ones, and I promise you, mark my words, they're going to be made public.
And there's also other governments that have released their own videos.
Oh, other governments are better than the U.S. government. Yeah, releasing them. Yeah.
I think the Mexican government did that as well. I think they had one.
I mean, come on.
What?
The Mexican government.
Okay, you guys just keep saying, come on.
What do you not accept about the idea that you...
I accept fully that somebody saw something that for now... is not explained.
I get your
point
of view.
So that's where we're at.
I'm totally...
And I had to say to myself, well, what's a likely explanation? Either that maybe they're lying, maybe they were...
I got to interrupt. We're not talking about one person. Yeah. We're not talking about one person reporting a flying saucer with a shotgun and his hillbilly beard.
Right.
We're talking about a pilot who is highly qualified to fight for America, but it's not just him. The reason he was sent there... was because they were tracking these on every type of radar system that the United States government owns, and this was happening for 9 days. And they sent this pilot, is the one that's public, this pilot, to go engage it. So it's not a dude who maybe was drinking. This is the United States government with all their best artillery, all their best optics, and they're tracking these things on radar from 80,000 feet down to 50 feet.
Right.
So, look, man,
I'm reading this article in the Times. It is pretty interesting.
Oh, get ready.
There you go.
There's so much more coming out.
But the New York Times wrote such bullshit about me. I don't believe anything
right. That's right. I read all that bullshit. I was saying that bullshit.
Unbelievable.
But here's the thing. But you guys are saying, come on. He's absolutely right. What you have to think of is, this, even if you don't believe the Times, the sources they're using, it's checkable beyond that article. The sources they're using are these unimpeachable military sources that a lot of these guys, if they say it while they're actively enlisted.
Unimpeachable, the ones who told us that they had weapons of mass destruction in Iraq?
No, you're talking about working guys. Working guys, pilots that work for the military that have a lot to lose by coming out with this stuff. They have their careers, they have a lot of their reputation to lose, and they come out and they say things.
Have you heard of James Magaha?
No.
I'm just, because I don't know much about this, I'm just reading a Wikipedia article on the incident. Nick, astronomer James McGaha state that the reported encounter appears to have been a series of misunderstandings and misperceptions with no evidence of an extraterrestrial encounter.
Yeah, so what's his evidence? Because I have documents after documents. We have the
and I don't know, by the way, who that guy
is. Yeah, I don't
I'm
know who
saying,
that idiot is either. The thing is, look, you can deny something all day long, but the thing...
Well, it's not a matter of denying it. It's a matter of saying the explanation that you posit might not be the explanation that is correct.
But
I'm with you, man. See, this is important. I'm totally with you. I'm not trying to convince you of anything. I'm asking you kindly to look at the evidence and to really spend a little bit of time because I don't need to convince you. It's either true or it's not true,
right?
And I'm not going to convince you.
Well, no, there's gradations. It may be true that they saw an object that you're describing, but it may
they
not
got
be
it on
true
film.
That it's of extraterrestrial origin.
No, I'm with you there, and I never said. I said it could have been a whole litany of things. However, these are people that they're very invested in the idea of finding out how these craft operate because they know, and this is something you're just going to have to accept for tonight until you get on the internet. They know that these craft are far beyond the technology that we have as humanity, as human beings, any foreign nation. And it's a threat. This is something that is like a big deal right now. Whoever gains control of this technology, they win. They're afraid Russia's in front. They're afraid that China's in front. So I'm not going to sit here and try to convince you about UFOs. You need to catch up. And I'm not saying that like in a mean way.
So if indeed there is a technology that is so beyond anything that anybody's even conceived of.
Right.
Why does nobody know about it?
No, but we do. We do
know
about it.
No, but why the average person... Why is this not the biggest story?
You're in the cellar too long, man. I'm telling you, the world knows about
it. Now you sound like Esty.
This is not a particularly big story, as it should. If indeed what you're saying is that there is a technology where people are traveling, if not at light speed, at some...
Not light speed.
Phenomenal,
not light speed.
Unheard
I misspoke.
Of speed using... gravity propulsion or whatever
sure.
This would be and if the evidence for
it's
this
huge
if
they've
the evidence and if the evidence
the...
for this were at the very least provocative you would think
yeah you would
that
think.
Everybody in this room would know about it
you
and,
would think
and no one who's very much in tune with what goes on didn't know about it. Yeah. I didn't know about it. I think it's fair
but
to say
evidence,
nobody in this room...
The evidence... What he's referring to...
Right. Or at least most people in this room don't know about it. So what's your explanation for the fact that it's not a huge story?
That's... Well, he has nothing to do with that. He's not the, he's not
but
the media.
But there's an explanation, and he might have
okay.
one.
All
or
right.
at least a supposition.
I like that word, supposition. So look, I think that there's a huge amount of media right now. I think that we're all interested in this subject, but how much time do you spend actually looking into something? So if your girlfriend cheats on you, you're going to look into that motherfucker that fucked her, right? So you're going to spend some time invested in dealing with that. It depends on your curiosity level. How much do you care? Do you care about paying your rent, or do you care about fucking UFOs? Okay.
If I felt there was a reasonable chance,
well, there
of
is.
Technology that you're describing, I would be exceedingly interested.
Well, I like this guy because we're gonna flip him tonight. Flip him like a pancake. Here's the deal.
You there's... don't have to convince me that the kind of technology you're describing is fascinating.
No, I'm not gonna convince you of
because
fucking
that's
nothing.
Obvious.
You're gonna convince yourself. Here's the deal, man. All I'm asking is for a little bit of your attention after this podcast. I am happy to play that role and send you things to educate you. It's not you are behind. This is happening. This did happen. It's unavoidable. So being a friendly person, me and you, we just met, but I would love to send you information so that you can get caught up because honestly, you're behind on this. Like a lot of people are behind on this.
These are things that have been, they were tracked, just like he said, they were tracked by radar. There was an official report that went out about this incident that was also released. So right. It's not, you're saying, why wouldn't this be a story? It is a story.
Okay, I would think it would be a huge story.
So let's get to what you actually believe. So do you remember, Eric Von Daniken? Is that his name?
Yeah, but this has nothing to do with beliefs. It's either true or it's not true. But we can talk about Eric.
You know Eric?
I know him. I met him.
So that was the guy who wrote this book, Chariots of the Gods,
great
when
book.
We were kids, about how the pyramids were actually made by aliens who came to... But since then, that's been discredited, right?
Everything has been discredited. I don't know. I wasn't there. I can't talk about that. That's not my expertise.
Okay, so what do you believe is true? Do you believe that aliens have ever come down and landed on planet Earth and interacted with humans?
I do not have the luxury of disbelief that humanity has been contacted since the beginning of recorded human history by an intelligence that is far superior and more advanced. And we have evidence of this in so many ways. So I can't sit here and tell you belief has nothing to do with
it. Give me an example of some of the evidence. The things, what?
I love where your mind goes, though.
That's what I've crafts, seen in the movies.
Crafts and signs. Remember that with Mel Gibson, signs?
Yes, exactly.
Crap circles. I call them crap circles. I don't know.
Look, what's the name of the Indian director? The
guy? M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah.
What I want to tell you is probably what's going to be most impactful to you about it, right? So is it like the fact that millions of people throughout human history have reported these things and seen them for themselves? Is it that there's physical trace case evidence of landings that our government has studied?
Yes. Millions of people have reported UFOs?
Yes.
Millions.
It's the same millions of people who reported Jesus walking on water.
Right. So there's an argument to be made like that if you want to make that argument. So let's find an argument that's best suited for you.
Aliens might have parted the Red Sea for
Moses. I don't
know
aliens. We keep saying alien thing. I don't know who it is. These entities that are technologically advanced, whatever they are.
Well, we presume they're aliens.
Well, they're alien
to
us.
They're not Jews.
They're alien. Hey, you with your
and if it's not the Jews, who else
you with your presumptions, man. I don't know. Let's find.
We're looking at him. He looks like an alien.
Let's find your pressure point.
It wasn't Sean's family.
Those fat Irish aliens.
I truly want to find your guys' pressure point. I want to know what it would take for you. To at least invest a little bit of time into looking at, is this true or not true?
Oh, I'm interested in this.
Okay. So, but what's the pressure point? So, for example, there are...
Well, it would take more than, I think, this discussion at this table, but I you know...
Definitely.
Okay, how about this?
Let's talk about my movie. That's why I'm in New York.
Before you get to the movie, I want to acknowledge something. That I've heard the argument, and it makes sense to me, that given the enormousness of the universe, that it seems weird that no alien actually has come to planet Earth.
That would be weird.
Right, well, because there's so many, almost an infinite number of
It's not
worlds.
Infinite. It's not infinite.
Well, there's as Obama said, more stars than there are grains of sand.
So we have a common ground now. And the vastness of the universe and the homogeneous of the universe, everything could be spread out.
And Charles Krauthammer actually speculated about this before he died. He said that maybe one of the theories is that to explain why nobody has actually come is that technology, they end up destroying themselves before they ever get
a
chance.
It's also a thing called the Fermi paradox.
The Fermi paradox.
It seems impossible to me that since if they've been coming here since beginning of recorded time, that not once have they left verifiable proof.
Well, you're assuming they haven't left verifiable proof because you don't have it in your back pocket.
Right.
Okay, so we found a common ground.
Yeah.
Our common ground is the vastness of the universe. We can all agree that most likely that all kind of life and elements have been homogeneously spread out through the known universe and that we're going to find... microbial life, and then, maybe there's some Neanderthal-type kind of beings, and then, maybe there's a planet in the Goldilocks zone, right? One of the planets surrounding a sun in the Goldilocks zone where it's, like, not too hot, not too cold, where they have time to evolve technologically. So we all agree that could happen. But the next step, the big question, is not is there intelligent life in the universe that's technologically advanced? It's are they coming here? How? And why? So that would be the next leap in logic you have to get to. So we've agreed the universe is vast and there's probably life a lot of places. But how and why would they get here?
I think we all agree that there could be life elsewhere and there could be intelligent life elsewhere. I don't know if it's an open and shut case because we really don't know exactly what it requires to take inanimate particles of matter and create life. We really don't know what that requires, so we don't know how improbable it is.
I would love to see this man cook a marsala chicken or something, because you would be looking at those directions, and I can only imagine how you would analyze those directions. I get you 100%.
But I will acknowledge that, and I don't deny that there certainly could be intelligent life elsewhere in the universe.
Very, very reasonable standpoint,
sir. But I don't think
chances are that's the case.
But I don't think chances. I'm not prepared to say chances are that's the case.
Artie, are you interested in UFOs?
I don't believe
we're alone. So you're talking about one's gonna suck his dick,
then he'll believe in aliens.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Have some respect.
That wasn't a dig. I thought that was funny, man. I don't think you can say chances are
until we know exactly.
But you're doing it on this grand scale. What he's trying to tell you is there's been things, there's proof of things that have happened here that the military and guys that their job is to explain it can't explain. And you're still like, but out there, you're talking about the universe.
You said that chances are there's life in the universe, and I happen to disagree. I don't think we can say chances are.
Why can't you say chances are? If there's a planet for every star. How is it possible there's not, just by the law of averages?
Because we really
don't. God only made life on one planet. Because we really don't know precisely
what is necessary to go from inanimate matter.
But that's not what he's talking about. That's not what his movie's about, and that's not what we're saying.
No, but I'm just trying to address your point as to whether I think chances are.
You asked that question. I say I think chances are just based off probability. But what I'm saying is the instances that have happened here. These aren't just people that are like, oh, it's aliens. They're just saying we can't explain it. The people that are supposed to explain it can't explain it.
I don't know, Matt. You don't believe vaginas exist till you touch one. I'm just saying, like, I get the logic, but vaginas.
Dan believes they exist.
I believe they exist long before. Well, I touched one. We all touched one when we came out of one.
Oh, this is logic again.
This is what I don't like.
Yeah.
It's a big leap to say there to be able to point to something that can't be explained.
Right.
To then say that your explanation of it is now something we should believe.
Right. No, but I'm not giving my explanation that I know anything about this is extraterrestrial. I've tried to stay away from that. What do you believe? Me personally?
Yeah.
I mean, to begin with, I think the idea of belief in this subject is the wrong route to go. It's either true or it's not true. This is not faith. This is not religion. This is science and technology. If there is an advanced civilization engaging humanity, there is. If there isn't, there's not. With that said, I like to say I don't have the luxury of disbelief, meaning I'm not going to try to impose it upon you, but me personally, I have enough evidence from my work and my life. I mean, I haven't had an encounter. I've never seen a flying saucer. But from my work and my life and the people that have confided in me and people that I trust that are in my life that care about me and care about how I spend my time and people in military positions that have had position to know, I personally don't have the luxury of disbelief. We have craft. We actually...
That's a long answer. What do you believe?
Do you think it's likely that we have been visited by a technologically superior civilization?
Very important, technologically superior. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, if you don't know that, then you have not been paying attention. It's as simple as that. And I can help you with that.
So what do you mean? So you mean...
So if you don't know that by now, after that...
That we have been visited.
Right.
So you do believe it. That's all I'm asking you.
It's not a belief.
You believe it's been proven.
Yes, I do.
You believe it's been proven that people from another planet or entities from another planet.
I don't know where they're from.
Well, they're not from here.
Right.
They could be from another dimension. Or another planet or another planet.
It could be
extratemporals.
Yeah, time travel. I don't know.
They have arrived here.
Right.
And they are among us.
I don't know. That's what Robert Bigelow, who's one of the biggest aerospace moguls on the planet, says. So this is a guy that has spent more money on the UFO subject than any other human being on planet. His name is Robert Bigelow. He has two orbiting satellites. He's a billionaire. He also, by the way, put on Beam, which is the large inflatable onto the International Space Station recently. He went on, BBC? Well, no, what did he go on? He's 60 minutes, and he says not only is it real, but they're among us. So that's his belief. as a guy that has been, by the way, worked with Harry Reid, worked with on Skinwalker Ranch. He worked with the Defense Intelligence Agency. They paid for that. He got the contract to study UFOs. When you call the UFO reporting line, it goes to Robert Bigelow's company.
There's a UFO reporting line?
Yeah, when you
for like, pilots. The
pilots, if you're an FAA or some that kind of thing. You call Robert Bigelow's company to report your sighting. So he's so intertwined at this point with the UFO phenomenon. He went on 60 Minutes and he says, they're among us on 60 Minutes, right? But I'm not saying that yeah, I know it's a big headache, but here's the deal. I'm not saying that I know that. I don't know that. He might know that. What I'm saying, matter of fact, I'm putting my dick on the table here, 100%. We have... I won't do it.
Metaphorically.
It's not a strong table.
Artie Lang has joined us, by the way.
It's not a strong table.
What's up, Artie? What's up, man? How are you?
I'm Jeremy. Nice to meet you, man.
I made
a joke that, like, you'd only believe in aliens if one gave you a blowjob, and he gave me a dirty look.
I was kidding. Wow. The dirty look was
a joke.
Anyway, I love the fact I could talk shit with comics. Anyway, so look, and again, I'm not, like, you know, trying to thump the UFO Bible on you. I'm just saying he pulled me in. He's like, convince my friends. Okay, but here's the deal. That never works. It doesn't work with my fucking mom. It doesn't work. All I'm going to say is if I can inspire a little bit of curiosity in you to spend as much time looking at this as you would some dude that fucked your girlfriend, like, just spend some time.
Well, that's an interesting analogy.
I will spend some time.
He's got to get a girlfriend.
I will spend some time. I suspect, without knowing... that I will come to different conclusions than you have, but we'll see.
I think what Jeremy's trying to say is he's seeing it. He's dealing in facts. He's dealing in things, trustworthy sources. He's dealing in stuff.
Oh,
that,
come on now!
It's
not
true.
Dealing in any facts.
We just gave you a laundry list of things that
his facts. I figure.
If I were the writers of Podcast Weekly, I'd call this Close Encounters of the Funniest Kind.
When I say not dealing facts, because in the end he says, "Well, dude, people who've confided in me and blah blah." Blah.
Let's deal with some facts.
Go ahead.
Is that good? Okay.
Why start now?
I like Artie, man.
What's up? No, I mean, listen. Obviously, I don't think we're alone in the universe, right?
No, but we were saying that. Dan says he doesn't see how we aren't alone in the universe. He says chances are that there's nothing out there.
No, I didn't say that either. I said I really would be hard pressed to put a probability figure on whether we're alone in the universe, given. And I'm repeating myself, but given that I really don't know what is necessary to go from inanimate molecules to life, especially sentient intelligence, what that would require, and how improbable that is or is not.
But life springs up everywhere.
Jeremy.
Everywhere.
Jeremy. Earth it does.
Our president.
Yes,
but Donald Trump.
Which one? Is your president?
Donald Trump.
Your president?
My president.
He's your president?
Your president.
He's your president?
The president of the United States, Donald Trump.
Okay.
He has access to this information.
Not necessarily.
No, he doesn't.
This is interesting.
Okay,
why not?
Okay, so this is so fascinating to me. When I learned this, it really disheartened me. So President Clinton, when he came into office.
Your president. No, I'm kidding.
You mean when he came in the office?
So there's a lot. Oh yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Who said
Thank
that,
you.
Artie?
That's a direct hit right there.
Yeah. See, now the comedy comes out. The gloves come off. Okay. So just saying,
I did this for 8 years.
A number of presidents have tried to get access to the information, and we all think naively that if you're a president, that you have total ability. There's two sides to the coin of intelligence in the intelligence community. So there's people that come and go like presidents, and there's people that are lifers, right? Now, in intelligence, the compartmentalization, how it works in the military. Any of you guys military guys?
I am.
Okay, so it's really...
I did stand up for 10 days in Afghanistan for the troops.
I defer to my soldier friend, Artie.
It fucking heard me.
It's so simple. There are two sides of the coin of intelligence when there's something that's compartmentalized or what they call stovepiped. So one is you have to have clearance.
He has clearance. He's the president.
So clearly, exactly. You would believe that he has clearance, yes. Right? However, there are many layers of clearance above the president.
No, there are not.
Okay, so we're going to disagree on that, but that's cool. So let's go there.
There are not.
But here's what he doesn't have.
He's the commander-in-chief.
Right.
That's the highest level of
God,
clearance.
God, I love you. You're like so optimistic. Okay, so check it out. Here's the deal.
I'd love to hear Obama say, yes, NASA, no, NASA.
Here's the deal. Let's get back to the argument. You got a coin here. you got two sides of the coin when it comes to,
trying to do my job.
Jesus Christ, Artie.
One side of the coin is absolutely clearance.
How do you barrel through that joke?
I'm not sure. Did everybody get his horrible joke?
Yeah, NASA. NASA.
God.
The other side to the coin of intelligence is need to know. Now, presidents have been denied information and access to information.
By whom?
Like by everybody who is in the intelligence community
Ellen
that decides
DeGeneres.
You need to know. So to give you an example, concrete example. So there have been a number of presidents who have come forward and said, I'm going to tell the truth about UFOs when I get elected, this kind of thing, okay? When President Clinton sent, the first thing he did when he got into office, he sent Webster Hubble, I believe is his name. Webb Hubble,
yeah.
Webb Hubble. Right. So he sent him.
Oh, no, he's a law firm guy, Webb Hubble.
So he sent him to find out two things. One, how did JFK die?
Yeah.
And two, what's being held at Area 51? What's the truth about UFOs? He was denied access to the UFO information.
By whom?
By the intelligence community, by the intelligence agencies.
But then he has the
who
right.
Who are they? Who are the intelligence
community? I'm not going to sit here and explain that to you. Look it up. Okay, but here's the deal. Here's the deal.
The writers for 2.5 minutes.
Let me just
I will look it up.
Chuck Lorre?
Let me just say this. So he went further.
I'm not getting more than the Obama.
Lawrence Rockefeller, started something called the Rockefeller Initiative, where he put a lot of money into this. And people that I know were part of it, right? And basically what he was trying to do was trying to force this information out. And to this day, and I'm not political. Like, I don't like one candidate over the other. I hate the orange guy.
You are political. I said our President Trump and you're...
The orange guy, I don't care, okay? So basically...
The orange guy.
Yeah, fucking Oompa Loompa. So basically, from there, you've got this initiative. Now, to this day, Hillary Clinton went on Jimmy Kimmel, and she says, oh, by the way, Jimmy, I'm going to correct you. They're not called UFOs anymore. They're called UAPs. Unidentified aerial phenomenon. Now, why did she do that on Jimmy Kimmel? Because Jimmy asks everybody, every president, every past president. He asked George Bush, he asked Obama about aliens, about UFOs, right? He does that every time.
She did it on Kimmel because it was a secret.
Well, I think she couldn't get on Colbert.
So she was giving a hint to people for FOIA requests because they changed the name in a lot of FOIA requests from UFO to
Freedom
UAP,
of Information Act requests
to AAV, anomalous aerial vehicles, to AAT, anomalous aerial threats. So the point is they've wanted to know. They have championed to try to get this information out with Lawrence Rockefeller. And they tried and they couldn't. And he was
Podesta was trying.
John Podesta was a big part of this. John Podesta was a huge part of this. And actually, I held something called the Citizen Hearing on Disclosure where I had five congressmen and one senator at the National Press Club for 1 week to listen to 40 witnesses who were part of the cover-up or immediately had direct information and knowledge about UFOs,
such as
the head of the FAA, John Callahan.
We're almost out of time, so I want you to tell us about your movie.
Okay.
No, tell us about your movie, because I stopped you before, and then I don't think you got back on.
No problem.
So, and then we'll go, I mean, listen, I think it's certainly possible that there's UFOs, but I'm not buying this. The president doesn't have access.
That the president doesn't have access to certain things about the government?
No chance.
Okay,
the president's a temporary employee. He's only there for the most 8 years.
Employee of whom?
The people.
Right. So if the president wants to see
you don't think there's people that right now aren't telling Trump stuff?
It's possible that they're conspiring unlawfully to keep secrets from the president.
But he has a right to
Trump. They leave out news reports from Trump so they don't want to get mad.
There are people who might try to keep stuff from him, but if he orders somebody, I want you to let me in there, I want to see it. They can't tell him no.
They have
unless
before,
Bill Maher makes a new rule.
Man, they have before. And so I'm gonna send you so many emails, it's gonna be crazy if you give me your email address. So check this out. You're the owner of
that's
this
a direct
place.
Threat. Yes.
And so you have a certain level of power I want to tap into right now. The UFO community is missing one thing. It's been missing this, and I've always said it's going to be the greatest hit in the world. We need a fucking UFO comedian, man. It is so rich for this kind of banter.
Well, we have comedians that talk about UFOs, but you're saying a comedian that...
to the topic. How about this? A comedian that'll come to like a UFO convention and do do a presentation.
How about
George Lopez?
Well, tell them about the movie.
Sean Donnelly could be that comedian.
I could be that comedian,
I want to ask you about one other comedian, and then I'll tell you about the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you about the movie first. So my movie is called Bob Lazar, Area 51, and Flying Saucers. and it's number one on the iTunes documentary. Nobody thought this was happening. I'm like the underdog.
Congratulations.
Man. Thanks,
wonderful.
Man. I'm like, my wife is and my mom are very proud of me, but they're saying, where's the money? So basically, here's the deal, man. It's a phenomenon. This thing hit. I'm a nobody director. I don't have a company behind me, anything. This is a huge success for independent film and also for UFOs because this story is actually really important
to
me.
You're good at American history, right?
Say it again?
Are you good at American history?
I'm terrible at American history.
I got a trivia question for you.
Oh, no. I'm on the spot.
Well, is it going to be yes, NASA?
Who was president when you started to plug your movie?
Who was your president?
he means you're taking a long time.
Okay, so anyway, this
thank you, no.
I'm not going to go into this movie, but I just got to say it's a heroic.
No, it is.
It's a heroic thing that it even got made. After 30 years, I was able to pull a guy out from like not wanting to talk to people. I got him on Larry King last week. It's a coup. And it's all because my mentor, George Knapp, started in 1989. That's why you know about Area 51. So here's the deal. Watch the movie. There's an FBI raid on us during the movie. It is dramatic. And so I hope you watch the movie. I hope you enjoy it. It's not going to prove to you about UFOs, but it is a success story. And I really hope that your audience, whoever it is, that they watch the movie because that directly affects me if they do.
Now I'll ask you a couple other questions before we go.
Yeah, sure.
Do you believe in other conspiracies? Do you believe that Oswald killed Kennedy by himself?
I haven't researched any of that
Patton
stuff.
Patton Oswalt.
do you believe that Paul is
See,
dead?
See, here's the thing. I believe
Paul
Oswald. Oswald.
my buddy Paul McCartney. I saw Paul McCartney. He played in my town, Pioneer Town, to 200 people.
What you think was Paul McCartney.
Oh, okay.
Do you believe that Jews control
well, that's
lot
true.
More than they're saying? No, because generally people who believe conspiracy theories believe more than one.
So let me ask you guys
theory.
A little.
I'm actually being quite serious.
We are in the mecca of comedy here, from what I understand. And I don't know the answers. So I want to find out. There's one comedian who has kind of taken this on the nose, and he always talks about Bob Lazar like he's in love with him, Joe Rogan. So tell me about Joe Rogan, because he seems obsessed with this topic. Yet he asked me for my movies and all this stuff, but I don't know where his head is at.
I don't know.
You guys know him?
Artie probably knows him.
I know Joe very well. Yeah, well, he's a guy. I'll tell you what. Whatever he talks about, he's genuine about. So I'm sure he's passionate about it.
He seems genuine. Yeah. So he's been in love.
Yes, that's
but he's in California too.
He's been in love with the Bob Lazar story since I started listening to that podcast, and I wanted to know if you guys knew him because I was going to push some buttons right now. But anyway,
we're good. I don't know him personally.
We're good. Thank you so much for having me on, and I know that this is a special thing to sit at this table. I did some research.
That's
I used to be in the martial arts.
Like so Joe Rogan, right? Doesn't he
fight? Well, that was part of our... We met a couple times. That was part of our thing. We came from a similar lineage. My sensei was the first Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt who was American, and his teachers were
Your
the same teacher.
Your sensei humor sucks.
My sensei... Yeah. I'm not a comic, asshole.
He's right. He's not a comic. Artie's going right after him.
Talk about like that.
I'm not really this guy more than
anything. Give me a call when the party starts.
Anyway, I just want to, out of respect, I do want to say
I am an asshole.
I've researched what it means to be here, so thank you for having me.
Well,
I'm not
going
to convince you of anything, but if you'll look into it a little bit more, I'll be happy to.
I will look into it.
You're not going
to
look into it.
Of course, I'll look into it.
No. You both are looking at it like
it's not like we have all day every day.
I believe the following. I believe that there's an existing eagerness within certain people to believe certain things.
That's true.
And that then creates the context for them for confirmation
but that's
bias
not true,
to see this, to see that, and
but,
kind
but,
of
but you're
put the
you're,
pieces
dismi-
together.
You're dismissing the
I'm
evidence.
I'm the opposite. I don't believe nothing.
Right.
And I need to see it proven to me.
But having said
that, I think it's totally possible.
We're not dismissing the evidence. We don't have it before us. We have your version
right,
of events.
Right.
We need to
now
because
you're
go
not
look.
Looking into it.
We okay. will look at. We're not. Can't look at it. We're
you
right now at this table.
They're gonna look at it. They're gonna look.
Leave them.
We're good.
Hold on. Artie wants to say we got to end it. Go.
On the rare occasion that one of us gets a free afternoon, we'll look into it.
Okay, Mr. Corbell, I'm going to watch your movie.
Okay.
And if I I should have watched it before, but it's been very hectic 2 weeks. And if I am,
I have no excuse on the
other. If it moves me as you the way you're selling it, then I'd like to ask you to come back on.
Okay.
And I'm gonna have like a real bunch of tough questions for
I'm
you.
I'm waiting for Area 52 to come.
I love that. So this movie is very polarizing. This is not the movie where it's gonna be like, the big picture. This is a specific story about a specific man that is very controversial, but you're going to enjoy the movie, but I will give you other information.
Okay, we got to wrap it up.
Sounds like Creed 2.
it's better than that.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sean Donnelly.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody. Good night, everybody.